Father God, your word says there is no wisdom or counsel or understanding against the Lord. So that's why we're here. Because the foolishness of our lives has made it so, even in our desires that seemed so right, so good, so need-worthy. God, help us. Our wisdom has failed. Our plan was broken. Now, add to our salvation lordship. Add to our lordship wisdom. Add to our wisdom love above everything else. For these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest is love. May we use this wisdom that you give us to love those that are unlovable. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. We see a running theme. As most of the Proverbs start, so too does chapter 4. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father. You will hear all throughout the Proverbs, my son, my son, my son, listen, listen to me, my son, my son, my son. There's an interesting dynamic here. Although Solomon wrote the Proverbs, sometimes it takes the tone of God speaking directly to us. Sometimes he takes the tone of David, his father, speaking to him. Sometimes it takes the tone of even his mother speaking to him. His poetry is as such that he doesn't give himself credit as he's writing it. Very rarely do you hear his name. I don't even think of any. He says here, though, hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. Understanding. One of the key words all through scriptures, especially in the Proverbs, is the word understanding. To understand. Understand is one of those weird words that we use it so often, we say it so much. Whenever you have a word in your life that you say so many times over and over again, all of a sudden it starts to sound foreign. You ever say that? You know, understanding, understanding, understanding. What does understanding mean? What is understanding? To understand, comprende, sabe, capisce. What is it to understand? Is it to grasp something of knowledge? I say the word see. You Spanish, Hispanic might say, yep, I know, I understand that word. It means yes. That's not this word, understanding. One of the greatest things about getting saved for me was waking up in the morning and having the ability to say to God, either at some point in my morning routine, brushing my teeth, taking a shower, getting dressed, whatever it was, God, what do you have for me today? The thing I didn't have before Christ was an understanding of what I was supposed to do. My whole life existed around not knowing where I was supposed to be. What else? Am I where I... There is this innate, inside, God-given, enemy-cursed desire to know what to do when you wake up in the morning. And if your whole existence not knowing what to do when you wake up in the morning is to go to work and work for somebody who couldn't give a rat's butt about you, what misery. What misery. Why would anybody want to be a cop in this day and age? Are you kidding me? Are you out of... Why in the world would you choose law enforcement? The lies and the deceit and the people that you work for and the people that you're working for. The thing that you wake up in the morning to do, protect and serve. They want to defund you. They want to call you racist. You could be black and they call you racist. I'll tell you why. It's a purpose. you know exactly what you're going to do. You're going to go after bad guys tomorrow. And it's that same mission statement, that same, Lord, what do you want me to do today? I want you to rescue a soul from hell. I want you to tell somebody about my love. I want you to pray for somebody. Like, every day. Now, there might be somebody here, and if you've been walking with the Lord more than 5 years, and you've never led anybody to the Lord, you've never said the prayer of salvation, you've never told somebody who didn't know God, I'm going to tell you, I pity you. You've failed your mission. I'm sorry. How? In my tenure in jiu-jitsu, I've had the blessing of inviting people to the gym, having them come out to the gym, having that first week in the gym where it's the worst thing in the world, and then some years later, watching them be promoted, green belt, blue belt, the all-important purple belt, brown belt, which is just the last stepping stone before black belt, and then being at their black belt ceremony. And if they announce and they talk and they give them the microphone for a second, it's, man, you know, Ryan introduced me, man. He brought me to the gym, and, you know, my life was falling apart back then, and I found my purpose in life. Now, if I'm not describing your life in Christ, what are you missing? What did you miss? I laugh because it's so funny. What are you doing? If he's not the center of your life, if he's not the joy of your heart, if he's not the purpose and meaning of your existence. Listen, if you're new, if you're less than 3 years old, I get it, I understand. You got to go through some piles of poo first before you figure it out. If you're here just because your mom made you come to church, I don't want to come to church, but my mom made me come to church. That I got it. This sucks for you. Well, I salute you, even you, because if you're here just because mom made you come here, then even that is pleasing to God, just to honor your mother and father and say, you know what? My mom wants me to come to church for a couple hours a week. I can handle it. And if it makes her smile, goodness sake, she carried me around in her body for 9 months, and then who else knows what else? Not you, her. She told me to say it before the church service. She came up to me and she said, can you please say this stuff so my daughters can... I'm looking at you. What are you looking around for? What are you looking back at you for? I'm talking right about you. But at some point in time, you might have that... Oh, wow. That is one red-colored girl. Greatness. She mulatto too? She red-bone now. That girl is beet red. That's amazing. I'm going to leave you alone now. I'm sorry. My wife's already mad at me. I'm going to stop. At some point in time, you might have that joy where your witness has been upheld, you've been faithful to the Lord, and one of your friends is going to look at you and go, darn it, what do you got that I don't? You go through the same junk as I go through, but man, you just keep moving. Tell tell me about this thing. And you have the opportunity there. You could either do what some people do. Oh, well, here's what I did. You know, I started taking vitamins and working out. Yeah, right. That is a sad, listen, there's no sadder Christian than the Christian who thinks now they've got something. Well, let me tell you what I, you did nothing. Stop it. You have nothing. You did nothing. You've accomplished nothing. You are nothing. The Lord Jesus filled your heart in and gave you a little bit of wisdom and gave you strength to accomplish certain things. Now, the best thing you can do is just say, man, you know what? Let me introduce you to my best friend. Please just pray with me. And when you do that the first time, guys, I got saved in 1993. 1994, I got baptized. And in my tenure, in my time, in my growth in Christ, I have been both the Paul and the Timothy. I've been the sensei and the white belt. What a joy that Austin Harris got saved at my church. What a joy that Drew Harris dedicated his life before he went to the army in my church. What a joy that I've watched for 10 years Sean Bonilla grow up in the Lord and watch him rest and rely on God. What a joy that at like 15 years old, Matthias just kind of crept in and crept out, and now he serves God. What a joy that I could sit back and go, God, look what you've done. What a joy that I can call my pastor. I called Pastor Jim. He said to me, you know, he's been having health problems. And he said, Ryan, don't you know I'm proud of you? Thanks, Pastor. Thanks. I called my pastor, John Cinelli, just not even a year ago. And he said, do you remember when I used to visit you in prison every month? And I said, sure, of course I do. He said, I never thought this was going to be it. I was like, I didn't either. What a joy that my mother-in-law and my father-in-law live in my house when once I was the very bane of their existence. I mean that in the sincerest form. I am not like, her daughter was. No, I took her so far away from God. Just that they could now look and go, look what God has done. Understanding is more than just interpretation of a word. It's the existence of your life having meaning. When you see that word understanding, when he says, in now taking the form of God, hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. That doctrine, that word doctrine, don't let that word scare you. All that means is teaching. I'm going to teach you right. Do not forsake my law. Do not forsake my law. The first thing to understanding, it's the law. It's the law of God. It's reading the Bible. It's reading the Bible to receive not only knowing what it's saying, but what it's saying to you. In case I haven't explained this enough times, and I apologize in advance, there's interpretation of Scripture, and then there's a rhema word. That's when the pastor, the worship, something comes out of the mouth of somebody that seems to be the Lord Jesus speaking right into your heart, and it reverberates in your soul, and you're like, oh my goodness, I think God just spoke to me. Where I am in my life, this is talking to me. It wasn't that guy, me. It was that guy, him, speaking through that fool, and boom, a rhema word. A rhema word. Chuck Smith said he looks for his blessing every single day. Chuck Smith believed the Lord had a blessing for him every day, and he wanted to find it every day. When I was my father's son, tender, and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, "Let your heart retain my words, keep my commands, and live." I have this vision. I want you to see it. David talking to Solomon. In case you don't know, a little background about Solomon. Solomon had an older brother. Does anybody remember the name of Solomon's older brother? Didn't have a name. He died at birth. David never named him. His mother was Bathsheba, the woman whom David cheated on and killed his friend. But David took care of her after that. Who knows what wickedness we've committed that God has forgiven as well. And he said, "My father, David," he sat me down, and he said, "Listen to me, son. Listen to me." Can you imagine David sitting there talking to Solomon? "Let your heart retain my words. Keep my commands and live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Don't forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth." David saying it to his father, Solomon. David saying it to his son, Solomon. Solomon writing it down, now taking the form of God, speaking to us. Wisdom. Wisdom. Wisdom is knowledge that you apply from the Bible. True wisdom. Somebody says to you, there's an old Chinese proverb, I don't know if you've ever heard it. It says that a wise man will learn from his own mistakes when a fool learns from the a wise man learns from the mistakes of others when a fool will learn from his own mistakes. I thought that was interesting. Well, that doesn't leave a whole lot of space not to be a fool. No, it doesn't. And as a matter of fact, it kind of leaves the point where you can be a fool kind of a lot. Best wisdom, when somebody says something to you, one of the things I love about jiu-jitsu, it's instantaneous learning. Last night we were training, or is this morning we were training, wasn't it? It's David, don't put your arm straight out like that. He was rolling with this kid. We had this big honking kid named Drew, not that Drew, another Drew. And he put his arm out and he locked up his arm and sat back. And David reached up to grab his arm, and Drew said to him, "Oh, you can't have it back now. It's too late now. Can't have it back now. Shouldn't have stuck it straight out." I love this stuff. I really do. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. I don't know if David was a loud individual. I don't know if he was passionate about the things that he was saying. But I imagine he would. He wrote all those songs. I mean, this is kind of a funny thing, in case you didn't know this. We're reading Solomon right now, who wrote all the Proverbs, 31 Proverbs, and the book of Ecclesiastes, and the book of Song of Solomon. His father, David, wrote almost all of the book of Psalms. So this writing thing, this expression of emotion, obviously was handed down to the next generation, right? Kind of interesting, kind of cool that is. Just a little Bible stuff. But the way I hear this, "Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender, and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me. And he said to me, 'Let your heart retain my words. Keep my commands. Live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget. Nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her. She will preserve you. Love her. She will keep you. Wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. Get wisdom. Now, how do we get wisdom? How do we get wisdom? How many people here have ever been arrested? How many people here have been arrested more than once? How many people have been arrested here more than five times? How many people here have been arrested more than 10 times? Yeah, I'm that stupid. I am that stupid. I was arrested 30 plus times. I have had police come to my store, this is in New York, we had a club, and they knock and they go, "Hi guys, how's this going this week?" Turn your hands around. They don't handcuff you like this, guys, just so you know. They handcuff you like this so you can't jump over. What did you do? I was 17 years old and I got into a fight with a security guard. I was 17 years old and I got into a fight. You just can't imagine the stupid things that I've done. And in my neighborhood, they just, again? You? Again? I was driving to Florida one time, and I knew my license was suspended. I didn't care. So I got pulled over in Woodbine, Georgia. Guess what? Guess what? You're going to jail, boy. Boy, your license is suspended. You been arrested before? No. The next thing you hear is, "Step out of the car! Step out of the car on the ground!" He looked it up. I was lying. You guys want to hear how crazy my life was at one point? Me and my wife were going to Jupiter on a vacation. The reason we're going to Jupiter on vacation is because in 5 weeks I was leaving for federal prison. I had gotten saved about a year and a half before, and I got arrested for selling turtles. Yeah, that's how stupid I am. And me and my wife are unpacking the car. Now I'm a Christian, and things are different in my life, and I haven't gotten arrested in a couple years. And this guy is shining his light from his motorcycle or scooter on my wife. So I go, "Can I help you?" And this guy pulls up on like a little scooter, and he's a little dweeby guy, and he talks like this. And he says, "Are you going to beat me up? Are you going to beat me up? Do you want to shoot me?" This happened to me. Am I lying, Joy? And I go like this, I go, "Yeah, I'm going to shoot you. Go away. Drive away. I'm going to shoot you." He goes and drives up to the hotel, and he tells the girl behind the counter, "Call the police. There's a man out there that's going to shoot me."
Oh, my God.
So I see, and I said, "Baby, wait here." I walk in the hotel, and the lady behind the counter is like this, with the phone in her hand. And I go, "It's okay. The guy's a little special, obviously, he's a little weird. It's okay, okay." I walk out of the hotel and there's five cops, guns drawn. "Freeze! Don't move!" I was like, "Relax, fellas, it's okay. Please don't shoot me. There is no gun. Throw me down on the ground, handcuff me, knee on the back. don't find a gun. I tell them the story about what happened. They try as hard as they can to arrest the guy, but they can't find any charges. But he was a weirdo going around the neighborhood filming people with a handheld recorder. Yes, this happened to me. And then we went out to dinner, and my wife is a little shook up. She's like, that was really scary, Ryan. Let's just eat, baby. This is welcome to my life. I didn't care. It was another day in the park to me. I didn't think about it. I didn't like, oh my goodness, guys had guns on me. It's just been my whole stupid life. I had to go like this to the guy. Like wisdom. 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 The guy's a little weird. Don't say anything. Just. Now, I tell that story and these things like it because, I mean, how many times do you want to bump into the same wall? Dig it. Wisdom. If you think that that dude is going to marry you after you sleep with him because he promised, you're wrong. You're wrong. Do I need to tell you the story about free milk and a cow? Shut up. Dude, get hip. Wisdom. 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 Get wisdom, verse 5. Get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Please give me your attention. When you make wisdom the principal thing, the byproduct of wisdom is success. Do you understand this? If you have understanding and the plan that God has for your life and wisdom to run your life with this, the byproduct, not the blessing of God, because that's completely separate. Not the favor of God, because that's completely separate. Do you know what the first thing that happened to me after I got saved was, guys? I actually kept a job for more than a few months. I actually had like 20 paychecks in a row and wound up with some money in the bank. Do you understand this? When you overlook a transgression, when you don't care what your employer said, when you don't care what your fellow workers say, when you start to just, who cares? Well, that guy, who cares? The natural byproduct of a little bit of wisdom is a little bit of money. Now you add the favor of God, you add the blessing of God to that, and now you're talking about a lot of bit of money. Me and my wife learned tithing to God is money. Matter of fact, at one point in time, going back almost 20 years, me and my wife started tithing on how much we wanted to make, not how much we were making. We said, okay, God, we see you work. Me and my wife got together and we said, you know what? Let's tithe on how much you want to make, baby. Wasn't always easy. Wasn't always fun. But let me tell you something. God has so surpassed and exceeded my expectations. Even when I was going backwards, when business was failing for about 2 years after we had in 2007, 8, 9, we had hurricanes, like back to back to back to back. Our electricity shot up. Housing market popped. And even though we were still, here's what we did, how crazy we were. We were borrowing money out of our house so that we can tithe, even though we didn't have enough money coming in. We were going backwards in our house, but forwards with our tithes, because that's how much we believed that God was faithful at that point. We had seen enough. And God has so far exceeded. The Bible says that God is a debtor to no man. You know what that's called, guys? Wisdom. Wisdom. Yeah, but if I tithe, I'm not going to have enough money for... You'll have enough money for everything. Everything. I promise you. Oh, Ron, are you just saying this because you want people to tithe? No, and you guys that are new to our church, I don't care whether you put money in that or not. It doesn't. I don't know anything about it. I never know anything about it. I don't make money based on how much church money comes in this church. My salary hasn't changed at this church. I make $2,000 a month. It's the same thing I've made in 15 years at this church. Same thing. Matter of fact, I make less now than I did because I have my own insurance. I don't take any insurance from the church anymore. I don't take any expenditures because God's faithful. So whoever that's for in there, you could have that. Verse 8, exalt her and she will promote you. You see that? Who's her? Anybody? Thank you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Hear, my son. Now, I love the way he puts that. You see the comma there? Hear, my son. Hear, my son. How is this? What is this? Is this God saying, hear, my son? Or is this God saying, hear me, my sons and daughters, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered, and when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. So me and Jim Coy, some years ago, probably 10 or 12 years ago, before he moved to North Carolina, we're in a restaurant. And this buxom woman walks in. She is what they call zoftic. And she is dressed around it. And I just take my head and I go like this. And I say, is she gone yet? He goes, she's gone. I went, incredible. He says to me, you have to do that all the time? And I'm like, it's safer for me. I'm like, that don't bother you anymore? And he looks at me and he goes, oh, no. I was bit with that snake once, and I'll never get bit with it again. You see, my pastor, he had a fall some 30 years ago now. And it took him 15 years to get restored. And he's like, ain't no way that snake's biting me again. Do you see this? When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. When you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. The Bible says this in the New Testament. Be careful where you stand, lest you fall. The Bible says this in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. No temptation has seized you except such as common to man, but God is faithful. And he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but will offer you a way up under it. Three words that when a Christian says it to me, I want to punch them in the face. It just happened. I hate those three words. And I go, what? It just happened. No. When you say it just happened, you're telling me God's word doesn't work. When you say it just happens, you're telling me God's spirit isn't real. Don't tell me it just happened. What happened? What did you do? Well, first, I stopped going to church. I don't know, somebody said something that bothered me. Then I stopped reading my Bible. And then it happened. But don't tell me it just happened. Why, guys, I was so adamant about not closing our church during COVID. I was so afraid for myself. Call it selfishness. Do you know how many people left our church and won't come back now? I know at least 6 people that will not come back to our church because they didn't like the fact that I didn't close the church during COVID. I wasn't careful with the people of God, they said. I was like, I'm sorry, but I can't not go to church. I don't do online church. I'm sorry. I can't. Because everybody's first step away from God is the first step outside the door. I got almost 30 years of faithfulness to my wife. I ain't losing that now. No way. I was at some 7 or 8 years into my walk, there was a conference going around the country called the Straight Up Conference. It was, does anybody remember? Anyone remember Straight Up Conference? They had one in Chicago. It was the only first and only time I was ever in Chicago. I went to Chicago. It was at James McDonald's church. James McDonald spoke at it. Erwin Lutzer, some other guy named Joe that went to his church, and then there was Warren Wiersbe and Jim Cimbala. And they had all these guys, ministry 20, 30 years, all of them, no stumbles. No, and they had a question and answer, and one of the questions was, how do you guys, you know, what is it that is the secret to you guys not having these struggles that so many other churches have had? Interesting, knowing James McDonald's end now, but. And one by one, Warren Wiersbe, Jim Cimbala, James McDonald at the time, every one of them, Erwin Lutzer, I don't miss my morning devotion, not for nothing. I don't miss my morning devotion. I start every day with my Devo. You guys might have heard this story. I told this story some years ago. I'm driving my car one time, and I'm listening to some Christian station. I don't remember which one it was. And there's a woman on there saying, ladies, and I don't listen to the radio. I'm not a radio person. I don't know why I was listening to it. I think I had a rental car, and it didn't have my music in it or whatnot, whatever it was. Ladies, I don't want you to ever feel bad about not reading your Bible every day. You ladies that have kids, you ladies that have to take care of your house, don't let anybody lay a guilt trip on you because you. I'm listening to this. I'm like, are you? I dial. It says, hey, you call in, you know. I dial it. Hello? Yes, you're on live on so-and-so. I'm like, how are you telling women not to read their Bible? She goes, where does it say in the Bible that you're supposed to read your Bible? I was like, like 100 places? The Lord Jesus got up before dawn and read his Bible? Are you serious? That's the question? That's your opinion. Click. I was astonished. I picked up, oh no, you didn't. No, I didn't. I was not surprised at all. It's like that is what they're selling these days. Does that sound like this to you? Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I've taught you in the way of wisdom. I've led you in right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. When you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her. She's your life. Does that sound like, don't let anybody lay a guilt trip on you? Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on, for they do not sleep unless they have done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall, for they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. When I was a kid, when I was like 15, 16 years old, I had another friend of mine who his family, he was stealing money from his parents and his neighbors to go to the racetrack and gamble. Like, the kid was like 15 years old. Now, if you're from Florida here, I don't know if it's the same, but in New York, like, racetrack is a big deal. Like, there used to be these things called OTB, which is off-track betting. They closed those down, but like a lot of people, they go to the racetrack every week. The racetrack was open on Sunday. It was open on I think, Thursday at the time. And you go to a racetrack, and you bet money, and you on the horse. And a lot of people did that. Now, here this kid was 15 years old, and he was robbing money from his parents to go gamble. And I never understood that. I went to the racetrack. I lost 20 bucks. It was gone. And I tell him, me and you are going to go to a racetrack. No, I'm never going to a racetrack again. I finally feel. I was like, dude, what are you talking about? Relax. You'll go with me. I'll take care of you. Don't worry. Like, I'm 16 years old, and I'm tempting this kid. I know people. Now, ladies, this is mostly a chick thing, but tell me. Have you ever said to your friend as a teenager, would you just smoke a cigarette one? I just want to watch you smoke a cigarette with me one time. Like, if I had friends that quit cigarettes, like, cigarettes aren't cool in your guys' generation, but they were really cool in our generation. In our generation, to have a cigarette, like, you guys lost that. It's like, you guys lost the, in my generation, they had the Marlboro Man. This guy with beady eyes and a cowboy hat, and he had a cigarette in his mouth. They had these cigarettes called Virginia Slims. Now, in every magazine in the 60s and 70s, there was the tall, skinny blonde with the gigantic high heels, Virginia Slims. It was the coolest thing in the world. And when people, oh man, I started smoking cigarettes, this is the worst thing I've ever done in my life. Because, of course, I wanted to be cool, so I smoked Newports, because that's how stupid I am. And they would burn your throat. You'd wake up in the morning coughing. I said, I'm never doing this again. Who does this? And then I was like the biggest advocate for quitting, trying to get all my friends to quit. Don't smoke them things. They're the stupidest things around. I wake up coughing every morning. Ryan, you smoked a half a pack. I'm telling you, it's the worst thing in the world. But then there was people, we'd go out drinking or whatever, and like, man, smoke a cigarette. Like, I'm not smoking a cigarette. Why are you trying to get me? You want me to be as stupid as you? Yeah. Yes. If people are going to drag you into a pit, I'm sorry, if people are going to a pit, they're going to drag you because they don't want to be alone. Now, I want you to take that and put it every way. Guys, if you're still in the world, if you're still in the street, think about what your friends are calling you to do. Think about what your ex is calling you to do. Think about what you're reading on Facebook and MySpace and whatever it is that you do. Think about it. I'm sorry, I always use MySpace. Instagram. Snap crap. And now I want you to remember. Thanks for bringing that up, Anita. So now I want you to hear this too. What I'm reading to you guys was written almost 3,000 years ago. Now, think about this now. I'm reading it to you, and you guys are like, some of you guys are like, I could see your faces. You're like into it. It's moving on your heart. Some of you guys, it's really moving you. 3,000 years ago. You see, because true wisdom transcends time. True understanding doesn't have an in and an out. You guys getting this? But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. Verse 18 is super important. 20 some odd years ago, we did this thing called a men's advance. I met this guy, Ken Graves. I invited him out to our church. He came out to our church, and he was going to do a men's conference. And I said, no. I talked to my leader. At the time, I had a pastor. His name was Generino DeStefano. And I said, no, G. We called him G. G, let's not do a conference. Let's do a retreat. Let's take the men of the church out into the middle of the woods. He's like, I love it. So we piled into Leaf's truck, and we drove all around Florida and stopped at all these Christian camps until we found this one camp in Lakeland. Lake Aurora Christian Camp. It was perfect. It was out in the middle of the woods, in the middle of nowhere. There were bungalows and wooden beds. And man, we took almost 250 guys out there. And something crazy happened. So Ken teaches this thing. It's the first time I've ever heard him teach. Completely set me free from all these preconceived notions about Christians. It was amazing. But something else happened. Generino did a teaching day one. He did the first teaching. And his teaching was this. You're here. Be here. And he took a box and he said, hand your phones in. And he made everybody hand their phones. He didn't make them. Listen, if you don't, you want to still be out there, be out there. But I'm making an offer to you. You're here, be here. And here's what happened. We got out there on a Thursday. First teaching was Thursday night. Friday, Saturday, all teachings, all fellowship, all exercises. At one point, Ken says, Ryan. He says, guys, I want you to go out in the woods for 1 hour, alone, you and God. Some of you guys have never spent any time alone with God. Go out in the woods for 1 hour. I'm going to be walking around. If I see anybody talking to anybody else, I'm going to embarrass you bad. That's Ken. You got to know Ken. And then Saturday evening, me and it was... Steve Williams. Ken's got to go back to his church to teach. So me and Steve Williams, we pile into my car, and we're going to drive him to the airport. The airport's about 3 hours away. And as we're driving to the airport, we stop for gas. And in the gas station, it's the world. There's women and men and money, and the world. And I felt something that I hadn't felt in 3 days. This pull, this, And I'd never had that happen before, guys. Because I had spent 3 days in complete, I say complete, but in most holiness, not being pulled by the phone, my eyes not being pulled by some vision, my anger not built up, this stupid gas station owner, go get the car. It felt weird. It felt weird. And I understood there's something that I was missing. There was this holiness. There was this it factor that I didn't understand. Holiness is a big deal. Holiness will change you. Because once you experience a little bit of holiness, and then you come back to the world, and the world's not holy. And the world wants you. The Bible says that the whole world is under the sway of the wicked one. You feel it. Like, I'll give you a little taste. If you still listen to secular music here, I want you to cut it out for 3 days. 3 days, don't listen to any secular music. For 3 days, nothing but worship music. And I'm not talking about pop Christian artists. I'm talking about just straight up worship. And then after that, listen to whatever you want and see if you don't feel something different. Just try it. Anyway, I remember that story. I remember very distinctly being in that gas station and waiting for the guy to finish pumping his gas. And I was like, Steve, man, I feel something weird. And he's like, what are you? He's like, I don't know. I feel like I haven't been here. I feel almost foreign for a minute. He's like, yeah, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. It was crazy. Anyway, the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked, it's like darkness, and they don't know what makes them stumble. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. This is the first mention of heart issues. In case you don't know this, the book of Jeremiah 17 says, your heart is above all things wicked and deceitful. Who could know it? None of you here have a good heart. None of you here desire to do anything but evil. None of us here have anything that goes good inside of our heart. Here he says, keep your heart with diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. All kinds of crazy issues come out of your heart. Keep a lock and chain on that heart. Chain that thing down and don't let anything out of it that's going to lead you into a bad place. That's a crazy, crazy thought. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Do you know how hard it is not to lie to people every single day? Do you have any idea how difficult it is not to just tell him I'll call him back? You're not going to call him back. Tell him I'll call him back. Let me check and see if he's here. It's what we call white lies. And the Lord Jesus entered it like this. It's really simple. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Hey, can we get together? Absolutely, next week. I'll call you. I was just being nice. I was just being polite. No, you were just lying. You laughed out loud on that one, David. I'm on my way. Are you on your way? I'm on my way to getting ready. It's so crazy, and I'm not coming down on anybody. I'm more guilty than anybody else. I get people that call me every single day because I have an established business. It's been there 30 years, so salespeople all the time. Do you want to buy plastic? Do you want to buy boxes? Do you want to get their number? I'll call them back. You want to invest in this? Yeah. How about this one? You love this one. Do you still have your condo? No, I don't have a condo. Never had a condo. What are you talking about? Is your car insurance up to date? What? We're calling from the warranty department. No, you're not. You liar. I'm lying to you because I only lied to them because they lied to me. That's why. No excuse. And I'm just trying to show you, listen, this wisdom is high. And I'm not trying to tell you guys you're bad. If you just want you to see how far sometimes, Anytime anybody thinks they're doing okay, just read the Proverbs. You're not doing okay. Not doing okay at all. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. Last thing, I know I went a little longer than I wanted to, but listen, here's a kind of crazy thing, right? Teenagers have this crazy thing they do. Watch this. Look at me. I was in high school. I was 15 years old. I, for some strange reason, was really attention starved. So at 15 years old, in art class, I decided to walk out on the ledge of the window and walk around the school and say hello to everybody. Hey, guys. And of course, the teachers flipped out. And I was like, what's the big deal? You know, they called my mother and father, like, why are you calling my mother? My father's going to kill me. And my father, he said, what is wrong with you? Why would you do that? You walked on the ledge. Forget about the fact that you ruined the school day for everybody. You could have fallen off and got killed. Why did you do that? Say something. I honestly, to this day, I have no idea why I did that. Why did I do that? Why did I do that? Just happened. Just happened. Nicole knows that one. And here's the greatest thing. When I got saved in 1994, 95, I was involved in a lot of bad stuff. God took me. She has an alarm on her phone for medication. She's allowed. Is that somebody else? Anita, please take your medication. So I was a fire. I was a brand. I was a coal in the midst of a horrible, horrible life. And God just said, okay, I'm going to save you now. And he took and he put me over here. Book of Joshua said, you were a brand plucked from the fire. And here's verse 27 says, do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. And I remember, and I want some of you guys to wrap your head around this. This is for somebody in here. Got a lot of people in here tonight. You're in the middle of doing something, and the Spirit of God is trying to get you out of it. But you don't know what you're going to do. Like, what do? I'm in it. I did it. I'm in it. I'm stuck. And the Lord showed me something, even as, I'm telling you, literally days old in the Lord. Stop. Don't do it no more. And for the first time I realized I had the ability to say no to something. Like, okay, hey, thanks anyway, but I've changed my mind. It was that simple. I thought I was stuck, but I did it, but I started the relationship, but I promised them I was going to. Just say no. Whoever you are here, just remove your foot from evil. You never understood that you can do that, but you have that strength now. Isn't that great? When I was a kid, my whole life, I was a kid till I was almost 30 years old, guys. Why did you import those tortoises? Why? Were you making money? Yeah. Were you making good money? Yeah. Was it all legitimate? Mostly. Then why did you do that? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Well, stop now. stop now. Why didn't I think of this before? Stop. Anyway, a little wisdom for you. Next week, chapter 6, it gets even better. You did it again. Could I make a confession to you guys? Sunday was a total mistake. I didn't even study. I've been looking at Hebrews chapter 1 all week long. I had this whole study planned out. Scripture verses that... When Anita said to me, what happened to Philemon, whatever she pronounces it, Pokemon. I was like, God, I hope you're ready because I'm not. It's a good thing I've taught that book a few times before. Hallelujah. You don't get a week off in this life. No week off. There's no week off from pastors. Pastors don't get a week off. Like when I go on vacation, I don't get off. Still in my Bible. Praise God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much for understanding and wisdom. God, I pray for anybody here who's those silly stories of life and foolishness and wisdom, whoever it would help. God, I pray that tonight you rescue them. You help them. They wouldn't let their foot get caught. They would remove their foot from evil. God, they wouldn't do stupid things like I did. Thank you, God, for rescuing me from all that. Thank you, God, and I pray that that same rescue is now handed down to those that are here. The testimony of the goodness of God. God, we will control our heart with all diligence, and we will embrace wisdom, because wisdom is the principal thing. Thank you, God, that you are wisdom. In Christ's name, amen. Amen, amen. Amen.